You think I forgot how you used me, abused me? I'm on to my worth now. Ain't no rewind. Ain't no next time. I call the shots. This my game here. You out. For good. Forever. I'm stronger without you. Oh, how I learned. Thank you. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm different now. Kids meet goodbye. My glow. Oh, so recognizable. Stranger stopped me in the store. Angelic, I am hot. Damn. So focused. Ridden things out your life. What a difference. So many good things for me to do, not including you. Oh, I'm on top. Won't stop. It's all coming my way. My time. I shine. I flow. Yes. Working to be the best me. You'll see. I win. Born champion. My effect is felt. Honest fulfillment. I gain no shame. Oh, so thankful to God for this poetry thing. I do see my future so clear. Clarity. Yes. All right. Thank you, everybody. I'm so glad and so happy to be here today in the studio on Every Woman. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. With us, we have Una, Fiona, and our wonderful, wonderful guest, Miss E, founder of GYRL, and our guest, Miss Devonna Kirkwood. I am Angela Believes, and we thank you, our loyal listeners, and those who are new for tuning in to Every Woman. We have something special lined up for you today, as we always do. So, as I mentioned, we are in studio with Miss E, founder of GYRL. Hello, Miss E.
Hello.
How are you?
I am here.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us in studio today.
You're so welcome.
You put a lot of work into what you do. And I want to first kick this off. Just give an introduction of yourself and explain to everyone, what does GYRL stand for?
GYRL stands for Giving Yourself Real Love. And I want to thank you, Angela, because you've been one of our members for so long. And so when we talk about girl, we talked about giving yourself real love. And that's what it's about, giving yourself real love. We have programs, as we talked about, that specializes in domestic violence. But everybody thinks that's all we do, but it's not all we do.
Right. You do a lot. And when someone what is giving yourself real love for those people who are in that process of learning to just truly love themselves, what is that exactly? Can you put that into word form?
I think you did when you did your poem. You know, it's accepting you at your best, mm-hmm. you at your worst. Is that once you decide that you're going to love yourself, nothing else matters, you know, in that formation, you know. And then giving yourself means I'm not going to be abused anymore. I'm not going to abuse myself anymore. Mm-hmm. Not that someone else has that power, but I'm going to take it back for myself, you know. I'm going to make sure that I get the best of everything. Life is about abundance, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure that my abundance is here, my cup runneth over. Whether it be whatever I want to be. If I want to wake up one morning and be a dancer, I'm going to be the best dancer there can be. You know, if I'm going to be a mother, I'm going to be the best mother there is. You know, it's just about giving yourself your love, you know, bubble bath time. You know, it's just about, when I speak about bubble bath time, I'm talking about time out for all those things that take you to another level.
Yes. Devonna, and you have been with GYRL for quite some time, and you have an experience. I don't know if you want to share that or not, but just tell our listeners, what does GYRL mean to you and yours?
Well, I was introduced to a girl because my daughter was involved in a domestic issue. So that's how I became involved. For me, when you are in those type of situations, you lose a lot of yourself. You lose self-esteem. So girl is getting that power back, taking that power back, owning who you really are, and being the best you that you can be. Mm-hmm. Because we lose so much through whatever type of violence it is, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, physical. You lose self-esteem. You lose confidence. And sometimes we seek love in the wrong places. So through girl giving yourself real love, you learn to own who you are, be confident in who you are, comfortable in your own skin, and you take that power back and you be unapologetically confident in who you are.
I heard that. And when you mentioned taking that power back, I really felt that when you said that. And I wonder, why do we even give our power away in the first place?
And I know it's not intentional because I myself have experienced domestic violence, and it's many different forms and layers to domestic violence. Mm. Sometimes when people hear domestic violence, you just think like hitting. You think it's physical, mm. and it's not just physical. And Fiona, I can see you over there shaking your head.
I was nodding enthusiastically when you said that there's many different forms and layers of it.
Right.
But part of it, it's also very isolating because often your neighbors can hear what's going on. And I mean, I was probably like 7 or 8 when I became aware that our next-door neighbors, that they were having violent fights and that he was probably beating her. My mom made some comments about it to me, and then she would go and close the window so that we couldn't hear the argument to give them some privacy so there wouldn't be that extra shame of knowing everyone had heard it. But it's possible that she reached out privately to her when they went in the middle of a fight, but no one ever went over and rang and said, "Hey, I was just coming over to borrow a cup of sugar to break it up," or anything, even inadvertently, subtly.
That's an interesting point that you made, because I can recall in my younger years when I would hear things wherever I would be. I didn't necessarily have to be at home. I could hear couples arguing and maybe some sounds. I even remember a situation where there was a couple was having an altercation, and the young lady came close to my door, and I knew, as a woman, I knew what she was doing. She was putting herself in a position for safety. She wanted mm-hmm. me to know yeah. what was going on without actually having to say it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but why, I wonder why are we so quiet or apprehensive to open the door and say, "Hey, what's going on?" Or just pick up the phone and call 911. I wonder why we have that delay when we see situations like that just happening out on in the streets or at home.
Well, so many times when people call 911, when the police go in, sometimes the wrong person gets arrested, or both people get arrested, or the woman says, "No, nothing's going on, even though she's got a bruise, I just fell down." Or the guy, if it's the other way around. But more usually,
I think
female.
A lot of times that people have become adept to it because of what we see. You know, the behavior is a learned behavior. And we see it on TV. It's almost like it's an honorable thing. You know, we don't get involved. We take out our cell phones and we record everything. You know, but we don't get involved because a lot of us come from that past. So that past is revisited. You know, a lot of women think, "Well, I got out of it. Why can't you get out of it?" You know, but we've become from a society that just accepts things. You know, women's rights are over with. You know, we have no value for women, and women have less than that value. We have started that war against women.
And, you know, before the show, we were talking, and you mentioned how it's a learned behavior. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine about the upcoming show with having you on and what we're going to be discussing. And it goes back to childhood, clearly. And we were even talking about the different forms of discipline parents choose to use. So how do you feel about whoopings? Because that your parent loves you, and when you're doing something wrong, they're disciplining you by spanking you, causing you pain.
Okay, let's go back into the words that we use, because you know I'm very big on words form our reality, mm-hmm. our society, and who we are. It's a difference between discipline and whipping. Whipping is something that we experienced as slaves, that we whipped. There wasn't no discipline mm-hmm. in there. It was no learning process. We was going to learn by being beat. You can't beat anybody into being submissive, you know. So discipline and whipping are two different things. I believe in, you know, disciplinary actions, but I don't believe in whipping. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's two different things. Did I use physical on my son? Yes, but it was a different process. Whipping means I cannot make you conform to what I want you to be. You know, I want mm-hmm. you to do what I think is right. Mm-hmm. When it's a lesson, it's going to be learned for whatever you do. So, no, I don't believe in whipping. I believe that if we're going to be a parent, we have to take the time first to correct that situation. And that may be sitting down, being that parent, and talking to that child where they can hear it. A lot of times we don't do that, and we say, "Well, our child learns because we've been taught by slavery, we can whip you into order." No, I don't believe that.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And my thing is, what are you doing it out of?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a form of discipline, whether you're trying to whip someone into submission, but are you doing it out of frustration? Are you doing it out of anger? Are you doing it out of love?
I got many of whoopings in my day.
I got many of them too, and I
beatings
I whipped my child growing up, but sadly, when I was married, she frustrated my husband at the time. So I did not feel comfortable with him disciplining her because I didn't think that he could do it out of love. Now, it caused some tension between me and him, but I said, I can whip her, but I can turn around and say I love her and I hug her and I'm doing it for a reason. He couldn't do that. He was doing it because she frustrated him or he felt like she was being manipulative. She was being a child.
But, Dee, even out of a childhood, that's the worst thing, to start sending conflicting messages. When your parents beat you and they said, I only did it because I loved you. And so you start thinking, well, you go through life, but they did this because they loved me. You know what I'm saying? Because when I used to get it, that was the first thing I said. It hurts me more than it hurts you.
Yeah, so beating is a sign of love.
Yeah.
And so right from a child, you're told people that hit you and hurt you love you.
Yeah. You know, but we know what it means when we're saying it. But I'm just thinking as we've gotten older, the things that I accepted when I didn't know, I didn't know. But now that I know better, I know the effects that it has, you know. And so for myself, I try to correct it, you know. This is how it takes more time for me to sit down with my grandchildren and explain their behavior. Yeah, for me to just to pick up a belt and say, come here, let me whoop you. Mm-hmm. And then I love you, that's why I beat you. But love is me sitting down, taking the time, and explaining what you're doing and how we're going to rectify the situation. Right. But that's me getting older. Yeah. When I was younger, you know, I had all the mother pressures. That, you know, I'm saying there's no excuse. But as older, we learn better. And once we learn better, we do better.
Right. And that's I liked how you differentiated between discipline and whooping. Because in my mind, whooping does go back to slave days, and discipline is disciplining your child. However, if you choose to, you know, spank your child.
Spank,
spank your child. That's still physical. And
well, I'm not saying it's not taking off the board because as a mother raising a boy to try to be a man, sometimes you have to take that role. You know, you have to stand up there and say, I'm not going to let you bully me. I'm not going to let you run my house. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to take these measures, you know. But Brandon, he was the type of child that I could talk to.
Right.
Until he turned 11. I mean, seriously.
So it's a fine line.
But at age 14, I hit my mother back.
Yeah.
Because
you still living?
Yeah. Sometimes we would have a relationship where we would be joking and sassy. Mm-hmm. And that was a joke in a relationship. And then one day she smacked me across the face for saying something because she said it was being cheeky. And it's like, but this is normally stuff that we do. And I was like, no, this isn't right. You can't just hit me for... So I slapped her back. Mm-hmm. And then I dropped my hand and didn't even try to defend myself because I knew I deserved being hit for hitting my mother. But from then on, any time after that, she would say, you're not too old for me to spank. And I was like, yeah, and I'll spank you back. And so things never crossed the line into the physical again.
And, you know, I wanted to bring that up to put that on people's minds. You know, you can discipline your children how you choose to. I have a son, and I whooped him, spanked him, I would say probably, to be honest, I would say I could count on two hands, and it's hopefully less.
You got 10 fingers on it.
Or 10 fingers. I'm not a Martian. But I can say on 10 fingers, it was probably less than that. And that's my son. I can do what I want with him.
Everybody thinks that. Everybody thinks that you can make your child dysfunctional, but go ahead. But he has to come out in society.
Right. And so I want to say this, and then we'll move on to other topics. So, because violence should be the last form of communication. However, so when they say, oh, well, I dump with my kids, I talk to my kids. How about yelling? That was another thing a good friend of mine talked about. Because these are things that your children are going to internalize, and it's going to affect their behavior when they are out in the world outside of the house. So what happens in the house, it plays a part. Even
that's
to this day, things that a child experiences as an adult can have them not functioning A1. So how do you feel about yelling at the children? Does
that I came from a house mother that yelled, you know, and yelling only goes so far. After a while, you don't hear it anymore. You know what I'm saying? You tune it out. It doesn't come across the way that it does. My mother was a yeller. I'm not a yeller, you know, but that's because I watched the other effects. When people come to me and they yell, I quickly dismiss them. I don't hear them anymore. I don't hear their language. You could be talking, you're talking to a brick wall. So when you ask me how do I feel about people that holler and scream, for me, I have the gift of turn off. Mm-hmm. So I don't hear anything that you're talking about, and I'm already tuned out. Because if we focus on what we hear and not the message that's coming out, we're going to be caught up in that. You know, I used to do daycare. And people used to say, well, how can you do daycare with kids screaming? If I focus on them crying and screaming, then I would be in an emotional state. You turn it off. It's like elevator music. You know, you can hear it, but you don't. It doesn't move you. So, no, I don't do hollers and screamers. I've never been a holler. Okay. I've never been a screamer.
All right. So there's definitely different takes on that. So I found a definition on domestic violence, and I'm hearing, I guess there's different words that they're using now. This intimate partner violence, to me, a.k.a. domestic violence, is a serious preventable public health problem that affects millions of Americans. The term intimate partner violence, again, a.k.a. domestic violence, describes physical, sexual, or psychological harm by a current or former partner or spouse. This type of violence can occur among heterosexual or same-sex couples and do not require sexual intimacy. So are you pretty in line with that definition?
You know, no. You know, and the reason why, because I wish that they would take the word out, domestic. Mm-hmm. Violence is violence. Domestic makes you think that you have to have some type of relationship. But it is violence. So when they give you a long terminology, I always say those are people that's getting grants. So they give you a definition of it. I mean, really, those are people that's getting grants, so they got to give you a glorified statement of it. It is violence. You know, in any form, it's violence.
It's fully from... dates back to when, until very recently, in many states, it was perfectly legal for men to hit their wives. Mm-hmm. And so they made that distinction between domestic violence and violence happening
elsewhere. Well, it just happened the other day, and I was sharing with her, with 45 counsel, the whole definition and what's going to happen now, you know, with this type of violence that's going on. So we have to say enough of the victory about terminology, well, how do we define it? We define it as violence being violence, whether it's educational, financial, physical, spiritual, it is violence. You know, and so when we get caught up on one word and say we're going to domesticate it, you domesticate animals, mm-hmm. not people. I mean, that's just Miss E's take on it, you know.
Yeah, so what are some signs? If someone is in a domestic violence relationship or suspect that one of their loved ones or just someone they know is in a domestic violence an abusive situation.
Well, it depends on where you want to start, because violence usually starts in the home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking about as an adult in a domestic violence situation, or you're talking about a child that's living in a home that they're suffering domestic violence. So when we talk about it, we start talking about it as an adult. But that's just not where it happens at. You learn that behavior when you're a child. So that's how it formulates into be something else in relationships. So when people say, well, tell me the signs of a domestic violence victim. Well, have you ever looked at a child that's been abused? That's where it starts at. You know, looking at a child that's been abused in their eyes, their face tells it all.
Most children, though, that are victims of abuse in the home become bullies. Mm-hmm. So when you have children that are bullying in school, that's the first thing I would think is, what is their home life like?
Yeah.
Because that's what they know. That's what they see. So they're bullying other children.
Yeah, they're hitting other
children.
Maybe
they are victims of it.
Yeah.
For my daughter, she started losing who she was. She stopped wearing makeup. She stopped doing her hair. She stopped, you know, dressing herself. And although she lived in the home with me and I could see what was going on, I saw her transforming. Oh, because he doesn't care if I wear makeup. He doesn't like me to look a certain way. He's okay with this. He's okay. So he was making it seem as though by downgrading herself was okay, but he really just didn't want her to.
But that also could be a sign of sexual abuse. When a woman does exactly the same thing, you know, they start downplaying their how they look, caring about how they look.
Right, because they don't want to attract the wrong kind of attention.
Right.
But
that's why I would say abuse is abuse. No matter how it's cut, mm-hmm. the signs are the same. The sign is the same for a domestic violence person or a sexual abuse person. It is still the same signs.
Okay, so what is your definition of sexual abuse? Because we have people listening, and I want to make sure that they understand if someone is being sexually abused.
I'm going to tell you the way I was brought up, the simple thing. There's no long thing. No's means no. Anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, a touch, a feel, a sound, it's abuse. You know, people say, well, you have to penetrate. No. Anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, that doesn't feel natural, you have to question yourself, is sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't have to physically have sex to make you feel uncomfortable. You know, it could be, I mean, it's a lot of things. So when you talk to Ms. Ian about abuse, I talk to where people could understand you're being abused if you feel uncomfortable in anything that you do. That's abuse.
Right. And I want to go back to what you said, Devonna, when you were speaking about your daughter, mm-hmm. How she changed. And just, I've seen people, I mean, I've worked with people, and even in my situations, I noticed I changed. wasn't paying much attention to myself as I used to. Mm-hmm. And I remember sometimes he would make comments on how much I would eat. I mean, I love to eat. I mean, when we first started, I was eating a lot. Why is it a problem now? Mm-hmm. And so I think those are some of the control issues that that can take place. Guilty. Not even complimenting. I mean, if you're in a relationship with someone, and again, to be abused, you don't have to be in a relationship with someone. But you're in a relationship with someone. Ideally, you are attracted to that person, and you think they look good.
Right.
Why is there no compliments? I mean, I don't need your compliments. I know I'm beautiful. My daddy raised me to believe that to be true. So,
it's gaslighting and control.
Right.
And telling you, often it's the opposite direction, telling you that you need to wear more makeup, you need to look better, you so-and-so looks like this, you need to do that. And or constantly making you feel smaller and smaller and less important and that you're never enough.
It evaporates you.
I think that's the word right there. I think the word that she said right there is the whole key. You're never enough. When you say, why am I with this person? Because we gravitate to what we know, the feeling. That's why I said it's so important as a child that you understand where you were broken at. Mm-hmm. Because like attracts likeness. People tell you all the opposite attract. Very seldom does the opposite attract. So you get with a partner that resonates with what you're used to. Mm-hmm. If your mother was verbally abused, you're going to date a man 9 times out of 10 that is verbally abusive because you resonate with that feeling. When you meet somebody that's different, you're like, hey, something's wrong here. This doesn't feel natural because this is not what I'm used to.
So I think a lot of people are walking around here, and a lot of us are walking around here not knowing we have issues and that we
that
have
is
problems.
The truth.
And that's how we attract that those things
truth.
We
yes.
don't need.
Yes.
I think we
that
all know we have issues, but we don't want to
it's
admit that we
attraction.
Have
it.
Yeah,
I it think is the law of attraction. Law.
That's very important there. But I know that for myself, I thought everything was wrong with everybody else.
Yeah,
I did.
I'm like,
one time I was praying. I was like, Lord, I need you to correct this person. I need you to correct that person. I had a whole list of names because I was reading where you write the people's names down and do all this. And at the end, the guy said, what about you? Because I was the common denominator.
Common denominator.
Everybody's relationship, you know. And I said, oh, I can't be the problem.
Take the beam out of your own eye before the motive
right,
someone else's.
But I was identifying everybody else's issue. Mm-hmm. And so I agreed. And when we said, that's what giving yourself real love is about. When you know that you have these issues and you know that you want to be better, you work towards the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. You work towards being better. Because nobody wants to wake up in the morning but me. And my first prayer when I wake up is I tell God, thank you for letting me know I'm dysfunctional. Because some people don't know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people walk around here and don't know that they got issues.
Lisa, they got whole magazines,
you
not just issues.
Yeah, but when I woke up in the morning, I knew I had an issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, thank you, God, for allowing me to know it.
Right.
But I work on me every day. You know, every day I'm amused and amazed at what I learn about myself. Every day, things I said I wouldn't do, I do. Things I said I would do, I don't do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, so it's an everyday learning quest.
Part of it, though, you said that people have to work on these things on being better. And that's work. It's so much easier to read some self-help book or something that's got a quick fix and ignore these
things.
I'm going
to tell you something that really helps me. I listen to a lot of YouTube videos, right? And I call myself trying to learn how to meditate. When you lay in there meditating, you are really taking care of yourself. Because you're going into yourself and saying, you know what? The quietness and the spirit is speaking in me. What is it saying? Be still. Because life is really easy. You know what I'm saying?
It really is.
When you get there and you start going back and you say, I can't remember my childhood. Why can't you? A blockage happened there. You know, for me, and I really don't like to talk about this. When we talk about abuse, people look at you as strong. And I think that's one of the reasons why women are so hard to come up and say, it's me. It's because I have a good job. I have a family. You know, I'm well respected in the community. I'm not talking about myself, but most women. And now I'm going home getting abused. Well, who's going to go up there and say, you? You know, and I'm not going to tell people because they think of me. We give us this persona
that I have it all.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so now when I go home and get slapped around or made to walk on the floor or something, that I can't go tell nobody because now I'm crazy. So I harbor all of this in me. You know, for years and years to come until I can't take it anymore. And usually that's when a woman turns around 40 or 45 when she says, you know what?
She had enough.
I've had enough. I'm going to let people know that I went through this. And then you're going to find other people that you knew that went through the same thing.
And
that's the law of attraction. That's why we're friends.
Sometimes people don't even realize
really.
It's abuse.
Yeah.
Because
that's
get taught.
You know.
We get taught that it's only abuse if someone's hitting you. And there's so many other types of abuse where psychologically someone is totally making you feel like you're the smallest insignificant creature on the planet.
That's you, because when you're, and I strongly believe in the law of attraction. This is why Oprah became so phenomenal. It's because when she started talking about the law of attraction, people started seeing. It's me. It's me that causes everything around me to flow. So if I don't know, I seek to know, because I seek to know everything. And I always tell people, make Google your best friend, because it shows you different things. But when you want to know about yourself, self starts talking to you. You know, your self starts telling you, this is not right. And then you have a conflict, because now you're confused. When you look at that person, you know this is not right. Your leaving is you not that don't want to leave.
Right.
Because he's already left. The relationship's already over with. You know, but the abuse is something that you're used to. I always tell people, I got goodbye on lockdown. Because when a person tells me I'm gone, my abandonment issue says, I'm already there. Even though I may want you to stay, I know what it feels like when somebody walks out that door. So go ahead and go, because now my attachment to you is over. That doesn't mean it's right, but I no longer have a need for you, because your need for me is over.
And how does someone get to that point where they don't have a problem with saying goodbye? Because oftentimes when, and again, abuse, domestic violence, however you want to say it, it's not exclusive to women only. Men are in domestic violence, abusive situations. It's not only heterosexuals that are in abusive situations. And again, I just want to go back to
how do you get the strength to say enough is enough?
To leave. Because there's a lot of elements that have things to do with it. If they have children by them, if the person told them, you're not going to ever leave me, because if you do, you know what I'm going to do to you and or your family.
You know what?
That's what happened with my daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It comes a time. I remember a person told me, he said, you know what? You're never going to get another me. And I'm like, thank God. Because I never would want another you, but that's not what I said. But because we're on radio, that's what I have to say. But
the PG version.
Yeah, PG version. But when you say, how do I get the gift of walking away, mm-hmm. closing that door, it's because I love me. I love me more than I love you. And that's what it's about, because the God in me is the best God that there is. So if I don't treat what's inside me like it is special, then what is my existence for? You know what I'm saying? People say, well, you shouldn't think that you're better. But the God in me says I am. The God in me says I deserve the best of everything here. And that's treatment. You know, if I can't treat myself good, how do I respect the God that's in me? If I allow you to treat me this way, then what is in me? Because he says greater than those that's in me that's in this world. Yeah, I think it's some kind of way. I can't get to the ground.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But when you love yourself, you don't allow people to abuse you. If leaving me is the best thing for you, go. Because, see, I've had plenty more that's coming, because I believe that the best is yet to come. And if I stay with you, I'm blocking my blessings. Go. Because you should never try to hold anybody that doesn't want to be held. Slaves showed you what it felt like to be when they revolt. Mm-hmm. I never want a man to be with me that I am stopping from feeling like he is being the best that he is. Because he is stopping me. I am stopping me from being the best that I am. And the best that I am is without you. So do I cry sometimes when they go out the door? About 5 minutes, because I get bags real quick. So I'm not going to sit there crying. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I do feel bad. But I feel like this was not for me. This is not for me. I've had guys that when they left, I thought that I could hear the cars go up the street. And I lived on a busy street. But I could pick out which car was their car, the window and stuff. But love doesn't do out of that, you know. You want somebody that loves you. And love doesn't fight. Love doesn't have to comprehend or work together and negotiate. It doesn't have to do out of that. You don't have to negotiate with somebody that you love. That's a spirit that you're trying to deal with. But I'm going to let you go, Dean.
But when you're in that situation, like you said, there are a lot of elements and levels to getting to the point where you know you've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
You have to... So we ask the question, why do they stay? There are so many elements to that. You have to feel safe. You have to have somewhere to go. You have to have support. Because you can feel really good about who you are and know that you deserve better. But if that situation is all you have, you can have that point where I'm going to take my kids, I'm going to run, and they tell you, if you leave, I'll kill you. or if you tell somebody, I'll kill you. But if you don't have a support system, you don't have anywhere to go, you don't have anybody backing you.
Fear is what rules you.
Then
the fear.
Right. It is. It's fear. I mean, so you have to peel those layers back in order to get to that point and make it up in your mind and say, I've had enough. No matter what the cost, I'm out of here.
Yeah. You know, it's just like what we experienced just recently with the government shutdown. Fear got people to comprehend what was right. What is right? They said, oh, we're losing our jobs. If you cannot feed your family in 7 days or something like that, and you got to compromise what is right, that is a test that God has given you. If you believe what he is saying is bullying the people and taking them apart, why would you compromise? You know, I mean, that's just my thing. You know, why would you even compromise?
It's another form of abuse.
It's abuse.
And people of good spirit are then being held hostage because they're saying, if we compromise on our beliefs, we're going to do more harm to other people. But there's immediate harm if we don't compromise and come to terms. But they actually didn't come to terms for change.
That's when you have to learn the terminology. What is he, a narcissistic?
Narcissist. And that's
what he is, and that's what is ruling our country right now, and people are not paying attention to it. That's why they're cutting off mental health, you know, issues and funding and stuff. It's because we are being run by that, and we are all being given that same fear. So when you stand up and you know what you're looking at, you have to call it what it is, you know, and say, you know, I'm going to eat regardless. You know, if they take away everything, we're finding out everything we're eating is wrong anyway. So, you know, we still got grass. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, really, people have to be prepared. You know, people have to be prepared and have to know what they're dealing with.
And so also that brings up another something I want to talk about. And Fiona, we'll get to you right after I say this. So do you find that there's a connection between mental illness and abuse?
It is. It's the same. It's because when you get, I always say, a person, PTSD, 99.9% of people that's been involved in domestic violence has PTSD. People ask me, they say, Ms. E, why do you say that? Because I don't believe in domestic violence survivors. I don't believe anybody ever is a survivor of domestic violence. Because anytime that you could be triggered to go right back there, what have you survived? You learn to live with the symptoms. You learn to medicate the systems. But you never, ever become a survivor of domestic violence. Because we're talking about something that probably happened to you 20 years ago. And you still feel the same effect that it did when it happened that moment. If you survive something you don't remember, it's like childbirth. You know, I know it happened. I know it hurt, but I can't go back and tell you exactly how it happened. But I know when you hit me, I know how it felt, and I still feel the same pain that I felt the first time you hit me. Mm-hmm. So mental illness plays a very big part in it, and people should be checked for PTSD.
And I think it's interesting because you can have a partner who has maybe bipolar, and so you're going to get that aggressive side of them, and I'm wondering how can we differentiate when it is an abusive situation. And even when someone is, like a partner is ill, they're not going to be on their best behavior. So when can you separate when it's care, you know, or concern, to erase concern when
it concerns if you're with
situation.
A person that's been diagnosed with bipolar. You know, bipolar is something I just heard about just recently in the last generation. You know, when we were coming out, there was no such thing as bipolar. You know, either you was there or you wasn't there. That's another term for people to get Medicaid. You know, we start telling ourselves, self-diagnosing ourselves, saying, well, you know what? I got bipolar. I hear more women say that. I got bipolar. It used to be when they used to have the menstrual. What was that? What do you call it?
Premenstrual syndrome.
That was it then. Now it's called bipolar.
They're definitely different things.
Right.
And the treatment is very different.
But I'm just saying, they say it as often as that, you know.
It's possible it was misdiagnosed earlier,
yeah,
and people weren't able to go and talk about things openly like they are as much now. But they're very definitely different things
absolutely.
And different.
So
treatments.
When you talk about how do I deal with somebody that's mentally ill, well, mental illness comes in a lot of different forms. You know, it could be anxiety attacks. It could be a lot of different things. But there is absolutely no excuse for anybody to abuse anybody. It is no excuse for nobody to live with violence. There's no excuse for anybody to put their hands on you in any type of form. So you can call that crazy, I had a bad day. There's no excuse for that.
I think when it's been diagnosed, because you were saying, how do you know basically if it's out of their aggression is out of a mental illness or if they're just being an abusive person? If you know that it's a diagnosis, look it up, study it, see what those triggers are. Because if you are in a relationship and you plan to stay in that relationship and make it work, you have to know how to live in that relationship. I mean, so if it is a mental illness, I'm just saying, because some people stay. You shaking your head.
I'm saying, I love those that stay, but I wouldn't be there. I'm not staying with nobody that I'm scared to wake up with. No. Or not wake up with. No, that's not me. If you show those signs and, no, I'm sorry. That's probably why I'm single. because I don't look to, when I ask God for a man, I didn't ask him for a crazy man, and I'm definitely not no.
Well, people just don't just come out and I'm crazy. That's not how it happens.
No,
it's
you
very
see,
subtle.
You know, no. You see the signs because there's always destruction before. You don't want to notice that sign. You make excuses for that behavior.
So, what are some of the signs that the red flags that someone should be looking at?
I don't know what somebody. That's different personalities. You know, I can't say. You know, this is why I get so concerned about domestic violence. Because everybody says, well, tell me the signs. Domestic violence is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You cannot put it in a bag and say, like she was saying, this may not be domestic violence towards me. You know, this is the way that I perceive it. So how somebody takes it is totally different.
It goes back to how they feel.
How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel at, when you're in that situation? You know, because some kids, you can never, ever curse at them, hit them. And this, your silence is domestic violence to them. But you're not talking to them. It's domestic violence to them. But what I'm saying, to me, violence is violence. When you put your hand on an unwelcome part of my body, that's violence to me. And how do I do that? I don't get involved with people that are have that type of personality. You know I'm an A-type personality. So I'm not going to go out there and date an A-type personality. I want somebody to understand so they can listen to me and not hear me. I don't want somebody focusing on everything come out of Miss E's mouth, because sometimes that would get me in trouble. You know, with the wrong guy, we'd be fighting. I want a guy that says, you know what, I hear her, but I really don't hear that. I know there's something else behind that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not focusing on the words that she's saying that I might be offended by. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Somebody has to walk on eggshells. You know, I want somebody to say, take me serious. Because I mean it, but I don't want somebody to sit there and every 5 minutes we going over what I just said. Mm-hmm. And now it's an issue and it's a problem, because I don't believe in negotiations in relationships.
Most abusers don't show their true colors until you're usually in the relationship.
Yes.
Months into it or even years.
Yeah. But they drop subtle hints. You know what I'm saying? With strong women, they always try to break you in some type of fashion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some type of fashion is like, if you're waiting on my call, I'm not going to call you. Right. I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, different things to start making you break down little by little. And people's like, if you're like, I call you every day, then I'm going to stop. I'm going to ghost you. But then when I pick you back up, you're not asking me. They hate it when you don't say, hey,
what
you
doing?
It's
like I'm going to make my reactions detrimental that you ain't going to do it again.
Right.
You'll know not to behave this way again. Don't say it again. Don't act this way again. Because you don't want to see me respond to that.
Right. And you know what? I always tell people the best thing for me, because I know I'm a reactor. If I'm involved with a person and I know they exhibit that type of behavior, don't want to call, don't want to text or answer your text, I have to give the goodbye. I block so I don't know that you're not calling. So therefore, you know, I erase your number, I take it out of my phone, I do everything so I don't know that you didn't try to contact me.
So that just goes to say that abuse can happen in different forms, physical, mental, neglect, financial. It's different forms, and it happens to different people. It doesn't matter what cultural background, your economic status, what part of the country
you're in. Exactly.
None of that matters. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, I was saying earlier that there's lots of different forms and layers of abuse, and that a lot of people didn't realize that abuse could be non-physical too, because growing up, I knew about abuse and always thought it was physical, and I was in a relationship, and my partner hit me, and I hit them back and said, do that again, and you're out. Out of the house, out of my life, out of everything. And then they went over to psychological abuse, and they ramped it up really gently and slowly, like the old thing about boiling the frog.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize how things were changing. And then I was talking to a friend about their relationship, and I was saying, but what they're doing to you is abuse. And then I was like, oh. And that's when I realized that my relationship was abusive, too.
Yeah, because it's easy to call somebody else out. But what amazes me, when I hear women that speak about being abused, and I'm looking at someone like yourself, small in nature, I'm thinking, how dare you? You know, that's what it gets to me. How can you abuse someone like that that weighs 50 pounds? You know, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying, for a man. I'm
thinking, in Fiona's defense, I think she's a little bit more than 50 pounds.
I'll say about twice that.
But you know what, okay, well, I'm bad judgment because I'm still at 110, so I had to give her 50. Okay. So I'm just saying the size to me, I'm when I see women that look so fragile.
Well, it's like putting your hands on children.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You know, when I see babies, you know, I remember once when I was had a baby in the care, and I just started because I had started getting kids from the state, and they don't never tell a home provider the status of this kid because they want you to take it in emergency situations. And I had this baby come in, and I lifted her up, and her whole bottom and stuff was raw. You know, her female parts was raw. So I called her mother up, and I said, "Hey, something's going on with this baby. She's got a real bad yeast like type of infection." She was only like 3 months. I mean, just a young baby. So the state came in and they said, you know, this happened to be the day that my caseworker came. And she said, "What is going on here?" And I'm like, "Hey, I don't know. I just changed the diaper." So when I called the mother came, picked up the kid, and never came back. She never came back, you know, to the care. But it happened to be the day the casework was there, and they wanted to see how you changed the diaper and stuff. And I'm looking, kids are abused, you know, in so many different ways, and the mother knows that it's happening in the house. That breaks my heart when I think of how young some abusers are, when we talk about that, you know, for us physically and sexually.
And abusers themselves, it's a high probability that they may have been abused as well.
Not most time, yes.
And so I want to talk about when girl get someone who's in a domestic violence or abusive situation, when they come to you for help, how does girl go into action?
Well, see, girl is a totally, totally different, I say, when we deal with domestic violence, we are, I think, the only one that deals with it on the way that we do. Girl comes in first because we're dealing with women that normally don't speak about domestic violence or come out. And 9 times out of 10, most of them are not ready to leave the situation or the home. Mm-hmm. They just want somebody to vent to or to know what it is that I'm experiencing. So we start with a sisterhood. You know, our sisterhood is the one that we come through and we start talking. And through it, the women start bonding. So when somebody comes out and says, "Hey, I'm going through this situation," we start talking about it, and this is immediate. You know, mm-hmm. This is an emergency. I'm talking about emergencies, handle emergencies, from the expertise to the get out of the situation. We handle all of that. But I'm talking about the after grooming of domestic violence is what's important to me.
And we're going to go ahead and take a station break. We're going to talk more to Miss E with GYRL, Girl Giving Yourself Real Love, along with guest Devonna Kirkwood. This is Angela Believes, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Welcome back to Every Woman on KKFI 90.1 FM. We are in the studio with Miss E. She is the founder of Girl, GYRL, Giving Yourself Real Love, along with Miss Devonna Kirkwood, who is up in here just looking fabulous.
Thank you. I didn't get to say that.
That's our diva.
These ladies came through.
No, she came through. Well, I want to be like her when I grow up.
I really love her necklace. It is awesome.
Oh, she's always, you know, she doesn't know. She's on radio. Just think what she would do if she's on TV.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow. Look out now. So, folks, we are back, and I just want to make sure, I want to make sure that our listeners understand domestic violence abuse and what they can do if they sense that it's happening to someone that they love. It doesn't even have to be someone that you love, somebody you know. There are things that you can look for. If you notice change in behavior, if it's an immediate situation, of course, we're going to call 911. But I want to throw out the number for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That's 1-800-799-7233. And, Devonna, your daughter had experienced domestic violence. I want to talk about a couple of things with that. As far as I know, in my experience, I think we don't talk about it because there's some shame upon exiting that situation. There's a little bit of shame that I felt. I don't know if everybody else feels the same. And then I also want to talk about how you felt about the aggressor towards your daughter.
Okay. So initially he charmed his way in and I welcomed him into my home because he didn't have a good living situation. So I didn't see the abuse initially, but once I started seeing the red flags before my daughter did. So once it became abusive after I learned of the first incident, we went to a domestic violence class. I had never experienced this.
That's amazing.
Yes, I had never experienced it, never seen it, didn't grow up with it. So it was hard for me to understand from my side. So the one question that I asked everyone in that group, how can I support my daughter through this situation? Because they said most women on average are going to go back at least 7 times.
It takes 7 times before you leave.
At least 7 times. And the one thing they told me was be there for her. Because so many times when you're in those situations, people, they give up on you because you go back or they don't want to be involved. And that was the one thing consistently that everyone said was, if nothing else, even if you don't say anything, don't give her no advice. She just needs to know that somebody is there to support her. That would be the one thing I would tell anybody. If you don't do anything for anyone that you know is in that type of situation, no matter if it's physical, psychological, however it is, be there for them. They have to know that one person in this world is there to support them. Yeah, okay. So when they do reach that point, they're ready to leave. They're fed up. They've had enough. They know that you got their back and they can come to you no matter what. No judgment. No nothing. They just need to know that somebody's going to be there to support them. There were so many times I wanted to throw my hand up and say, hey, if you go back, don't come back to my house. Mm-hmm. I even told her one time, I said, if you leave and you go again, you take everything with you. I'm so tired. It's more stressful for me than it is for you. Just don't come back. She called my bluff. She packed all her little stuff. And that evening, I was right back over there knocking on the door. Talking about, get your stuff. Let's go. You going back home. We're not having this. You're not about to be in this type of situation. And it took for him to nearly kill her before she realized that I had to get out of this situation. She said, it's going to either be me or him. But once she did that, 2 weeks later, he actually took the life of another young lady. Took her vehicle in an attempt to come and take my life and my daughter's life. So then he took his own life that same night. So it's just been a year. This past December, It was just a year. So we still are working through that. Like Miss E said, you survive it, but you really don't survive it. You know, you ring my doorbell, that's going to be a trigger for me.
Yeah.
Because of certain things that he would, you know, send people to our homes, and they would ring our doors all times of the days and nights, you know, looking for her, trying to pick her up. He'd send cars over there. So it's that would just be my one piece of advice.
But can I
say
this? Yeah. One of the things I love about Dee is because I met her daughter first. She is the first one. I've been doing domestic violence since 1999. She is the first mother and daughter team that I've had where the mothers come out and said, my daughter has been or is in a situation of domestic violence. My daughter needs continuous help. That's one of the things that we're going to work on this year, and she's experiencing it. Nobody wants to be transparent and says, let's give her continual help.
Right.
This man terrorized her, told her that he was going to kill her mother and kill her. She was a student that was going to college. She didn't live that type of life. This happened within a 6 months.
6 months.
That transformation.
6 months.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Usually it takes a while. Mm-hmm. He destroyed everything about her. But her mother not being out of that type of situation or knowing anything about that lifestyle, I love and respect her because she says, you know, I go through the denial. But the whole thing is we're going to work this out together. And if more mothers would stand like she's standing, we could work this out. You know, so I just want to publicly say how much I love and respect her for being that type
Thank
of woman. You know,
you.
Because it takes a lot. Most people that's been abused, they don't acknowledge it, especially when it's their daughter that's been abused.
Well, that was my only child. You and Brianna had this conversation just yesterday, actually, and we talked about it. I'm like, this is my only child. Had he taken her life, it would have changed the lives of so many other people.
But he's taken her life in so many other ways.
We're working on trying to get that.
Man, it's a healing process.
You know, healing
is absolutely a process.
Oh, my God. I was watching your video when they were singing.
We do that all the time.
You know what? And I actually stayed up and I said, I must be losing it. I went back to when she was a little girl, like 10 years old, and how gifted she is. But one of the things I say about you, it makes me, when we talk about the abuse and the neglect and the unfelt moments, it makes me see in you so much what I wanted with my mother. Mm. You know, that type of relationship. So that's why I love you more and more each time. And I'm going to get in that family, you know, because they have a family, you know. And
yeah.
I just love that. And sometimes when you meet a lot of people, which I meet a lot of people, and I am blessed to have people that I'm around that actually love me and I love them. Mm-hmm. But I am so thankful for the wide variety of people that I am still able to connect with.
So being in a domestic violence or abuse situation, it sounds like it's beneficial if you have that support system.
You have, that is
not
key.
Everybody has you that from key. Family. Yeah.
That's right.
And, I mean, there are different sources that you can do. For one, I always believe in my God, a higher power. And also, just give us, we're you know, running down on the time, and we do have a caller that I would like to bring on. I want to ask you, Devonna, what is something key for someone who is healing from domestic violence or an abusive situation? What is one key component you would suggest for them to do in that process, the healing process?
Have patience. Have patience and understand that there are triggers and it does take time. Healing is like a sore. It's a process. Yeah. I mean, and any little thing can peel that scab and open that wound. So you have to have patience and a little bit of compassion.
And believe in yourself.
Yes.
And forgive yourself.
And forgive, absolutely forgive yourself.
It's essential that we forgive ourselves and in some kind of way forgive the aggressor. All right, we're going
to
welcome.
I don't think you have to forgive the aggressor.
You don't think?
No,
there,
I do.
There's two different ways to look at that.
I mean, I look at
forgiveness
it.
Forgiveness is for you to move on.
I'm talking about for you to move on. When people say, oh, you forgive those that hurt you. No. You let them go on about their business, but you don't have to owe anybody anything for trying to destroy you.
All right. And with that, we're going to check with our caller on the air. Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Kurt from the East Side.
Hi, Kurt.
My daughter is suffering from mental illness. She's wanting to go through electric consultants. ECT,
mm-hmm.
And I just think that the mental health community is so lacking in knowledge that they're willing to abuse the abuser, they're abusing the abused, and I just think that as a community, we need to do so much better. Wealthy white people, white women, will not have to go through this. But poor people
mm-hmm.
have to go through so much abuse to seek treatment. And it's not treatment, it's abuse.
Yes, Kurt. Thank you for calling in. We're going to go ahead and wind down on this hour, and I'm going to address what you stated here in just a moment. Thank you for calling in on Every Woman. So, again, everyone can be affected by abuse. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your financial background, your economic background, none of that. And, again, how Miss E stated, if something doesn't feel right, that's a big red flag. If there's a change, that's a big red flag. Let's not ignore those, because not everybody is going to make it out alive from an abusive situation. Let's understand that. You might take the seventh time, eighth time, you might not make it out that ninth time. Miss E, can you leave some information for our listeners where they can contact you, if them themselves or if they know of someone who is in an abusive situation? Where can they contact you?
Yes, you can email us at g.y.r.l.botp@gmail.com or contact us, you know, 816-622-2927. Facebook, we're always on Facebook. You know, you can contact us there.
And what are some final words you would have for our listeners?
When you said that not everyone makes it out of domestic violence, domestic violence is the number one killer of women. More women die in domestic violence situations than of heart attacks, of cancer. And we always talk about cancer, but domestic violence is the cancer among women, you know, and children and abuse. And if you are in one, you know, you can simply, it's not simply to get out, but you need to get out. It's no nice way of saying, let's go to bed, let's think about it. You are in a state of an emergency. You need to think of a way to get out.
And there are organizations, and there is one here today, GYRL. Matter of fact, the website, g.r.y.
No.
GYRL. On our Facebook page, mm-hmm. I've put some resources for people. I've put Girl Themselves. So www.girlgyrlplease.org.
Yes.
And some other places like Moxa, who've been on before, and things like that, with phone numbers.
Well, we've
people.
Been on here several times, and we thank each time that we're on here, we thank you for allowing us to at least break the silence about domestic violence and let people see from a different scope that we're not coming at, like, you know, a lot of organizations and say, well, let's look at the red flags. No, let's look at yourself. And let's see what makes you uncomfortable.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Every Woman. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week.